Well, when Moses gave the Ten Commandments to Israel, commandment number 5, which many of you may know, was honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And for those of you who may think, well, that's an Old Testament, that's an Old Covenant law, it doesn't apply to us today, all we need to do is open up our New Testament and find Paul in the book of Ephesians tell Christians this: honor your father and your mother, because this is the first commandment with a promise and so on. It is a New Covenant principle as well. And so, seeing today is Mother's Day, we're going to focus on this commandment number 5, honor your father and your mother. Today, of course, we're going to focus on that second half, honor your mother, and Lord willing, in 5 weeks, maybe we'll focus on the first half of that command. Well, how can we honor our moms, our mothers? And as I begin today, I realize that we are all in different places. Some of us may have our mother still with us. Some may have, our mother may have passed. Some of you may be moms, so you know what it's like to be a mom. Some of you as moms have gone through the pain of losing a child, and so this day there's mixed emotions with it. We're all in different places, but no matter where you're at, I pray that God would use his word today to draw you closer to him. How can we honor our moms? I want to begin with those of you who are a bit younger. Where's the guys? Usually they're all lined up in the back. You're sitting with your moms today. Isn't that good? That's one way to honor your mom. You can sit right next to your mom. Very good. Oh, there's another one. But for the young guys, you guys who aren't quite, quote, adults yet, Alina here in the front, how can you honor your mom? Well, it's real simple. You can honor your mom. Hey, look at that. You can honor your mom by not only, that's close. I mean, you're next to your sister. That's kind of close. You guys, well, somebody's got to sit next to mom, I guess. But you can honor your mom by obeying her. You said, Pastor, I thought you said that was really simple. I mean, simple in the way of not complicated. I didn't say it was easy. Mom says, hey, pick up your clothes off the floor, would you? You do it, you obey. That's very simple, right? That's not complicated. It's pretty simple. But I know what you mean. It may not always be easy. And why is that? That is because we come into this world out of our mother's womb thinking mainly about who? About ourselves. We are by nature self-centered. This is what we are. We tend to think that our wants and our desires are the most important thing. We think that we should always do what makes us happy and what makes us feel good. And this is the way we are, quote, wired. And not only that, but this is what our culture continually feeds us. And so it's a double whammy. We've got it coming from within and from without. This whole, we learned about in men's group, right? The word egocentric, right? We're self-centered. That's how we are as sinful people. So I agree, it is not easy. And so when your mom says, pick up your clothes, you may find that there is a desire to do something else at that moment. Maybe stare at a screen. Maybe perchance, maybe that would be something that may be a desire of yours. It could be a TV screen, could be a computer screen, could be a phone screen, could be an iPad screen, could be lots of screens. But in that moment, you know in your head, mom's saying pick up the clothes, but there is this strong desire, this urge to just keep looking at this screen. It's like the screen is telling you, hey, look at me, right? And it's so hard to do what is right. Paul would say in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so when you choose to obey mom rather than stare at the screen, you are doing what is right in the eyes of God. So for those of you who claim to know and love Jesus, you know, one way you can show your obedience to the Lord is to obey your mom. when you raise your hand, when the youth pastor, youth leader asks you, "Yeah, do you guys love Jesus?" "Yeah, we do. We raise your hand." Well, a good way you can demonstrate that, your love for Christ, is by obeying your mom. That's a real simple, not easy, but a simple thing that you can do. Another way you can honor your mom is through your speech, through the things that you say, through your words. Jesus said this, that the things that come out of our mouths come from what's inside, what's in our hearts. Our words reveal what's going on the inside. So if you happen to be disrespectful or harsh or nasty, if you say those unkind words to your mother, then you know what? There's something amiss in your heart. There's some changing that needs to take place in your heart if this is where you're at. If you struggle with saying unkind or harsh words to your mom, I'm going to give you a great scripture to look at this morning. Let's look at Ephesians 4, 29. I want to read a few verses after that as well. But Ephesians 4, 29 through 32 says this. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Young people, this simply does not apply, you know, to the kid at school who's getting bullied, maybe getting picked on, and so you say nice things to him, but it applies to your mother as well. And it doesn't just apply to the teenager, does it? It applies to all of us who still have our moms with us. I'm in my 40s and my mom's in her 70s. But guess what? I'm still to follow what Ephesians 4:29 says. I'm still to speak words that would benefit her, not tear her down, but build her up, edify her, encourage her. If I say things that tear her down and discourage her, I dishonor her. I do, with my words. I think most of us are well aware of this basic truth, and that is that words can do damage. You've all heard that famous saying growing up, right? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, that's a lie, really, when you think about it, because I'm sure we've all been hit by a word at a time in our lives that had just gone right to the heart, and it has wounded us when someone has said something. Words do hurt. And that is just bound to happen as we live out our lives. But how should we respond? How should we respond when we're hurt, when we're wounded by words? What should we do? Verse 31 tells us, doesn't it? It says, "Get rid of all bitterness." Start there. Get rid of bitterness. What is bitterness? Bitterness is when we hold on to something. We don't let it go. We dwell on it over and over and over. We rehearse the offense or the sin in our mind. We play it out again and again, and we don't let go. And our heart gets harder and harder and harder the more we dwell on that action or that word that has been spoken. And this can happen not only between a parent and a child, but it can happen between any two people. And when we become bitter, what can that lead to? Next thing Paul says is rage and anger. We can become so upset, so furious by this, that our blood begins to boil. And when our blood begins to boil, what do we want to do next? Paul says, brawling. Oh, there we go. Now we're going to actually get out the old boxing gloves, right? We're going to start duking it out. Now, most of us wouldn't come to punches, right? Maybe one of you or so, maybe would take a swipe at somebody. I don't know. I've heard that before. But most of us, we may not actually hit somebody, but do we in our minds have this invisible boxing match going on, where we're doing all the damage. We're just pounding the guy good in our minds. We may brawl in our minds. We may, next thing Paul says is slander. We may speak evil. We may twist the truth about a person. We may want to make sure everybody sees them in a negative light, and they think more highly of us than them. And it may even lead to the final thing, which Paul says is malice. Malice is a deep-seated animosity where we would actually rejoice if something bad were to happen to that person. We see something bad, they trip on the sidewalk or whatever. Oh, good, that's what they deserve. That's what they get for the way they treated me. That is malice. That is evil, according to the scriptures, to have that kind of attitude. Instead, what should our attitude be? Be kind and be compassionate. Forgive them just as in Christ God forgave you. Don't rejoice because they just tripped and fell on their face. Have a heart of grace and compassion for them. And you say, Pastor, I thought you were talking about Mother's Day here. What does all that have to do with Mother's Day? I would never treat my mom in that way. And I pray that none of you would. But know this, there's always a possibility that that could happen someday. That there could be this strife, this division, this bitterness between you and your mom. I pray that wouldn't be. Guard against that. Guard against that. Don't ever go there. No matter what has happened in your life, don't let your heart get cold and callous toward your mother or toward really anyone else. So number one, as believers, we are commanded to honor our moms. And whether we are young or old, we're still to honor them through our actions and through our words. I want to speak to those of you who are moms for a moment now. As a mom, let me ask you this. What does it mean to be a mom? What is really important to you as a mother? Some of you may say, well, I think it's really important that I care for the needs of my child or of my children. And that is a good thing. That is true. Let's look at what Proverbs 31, verse 15 says. Speaking of the godly woman, it says this, she gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. And I know what some of you are thinking, right? Yeah, if I had servant girls, I'd be up before dark too, you know, or in the dark, before dawn, whatever. I'd be up real early, yeah. If I had a servant to help do my dishes and laundry and do the kids' homework, all right. Talon's laughing. That's what she's thinking. Yeah, I'd get up real early. That's not the point. The point is the mother cares for the needs of her family. How many of you growing up ever heard your mom say, hey, it's cold out. Would you put a hat on? It's cold out. Would you put your gloves on? Hey, it ain't that warm out. Would you put a jacket on? Jordan and Josh, who like to go out when it's 20 degrees, right? With just a t-shirt or a hoodie. Yeah, he says, yeah. Why do they do that? Because they're concerned about your welfare. There's a protecting aspect that love has. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13 says love protects. There's this kind of caring and nurturing and guidance that they want to give you. And you may think, you know, my mom's just a control freak. And maybe she may be to a degree, but you know what? She has a whole lot of love for you too. And that's why she wants to protect you and guard you from harm. So number one, taking care of basic needs of your family is a good thing, a great thing as a mom. There are two other things I want to point out though, mention, and that is this, two things that are incredibly important if you are a mom today. If you have kids and you're a mom, is this. First, point them to Christ, and secondly, pray for them. Number one, point them to Christ. It's very easy in our culture to fail to make this a priority in our lives as parents. Too often, the most important thing that a parent wants to see in their child is success. Now, hear me out. I'm not saying don't encourage your child to be the best that they can be and to work hard at whatever they do. That's biblical. If your child has the brain and the mind and it's God's will that they become a rocket scientist someday, then go for it. May they be the best God-glorifying rocket scientist on the planet and even outer space for that matter. May they do it well. That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But too often, we can emphasize earthly success rather than spiritual success. So let me ask you, moms, a few questions. What would bring you greater joy? Seeing your child win American Idol or seeing your child live for Christ? What would bring you greater joy? Seeing your child be school valedictorian or seeing them live for Christ? What would bring you greater joy? Seeing your child become maybe a doctor or a lawyer or a doctor or a president maybe, I don't know, whatever, something really successful in the eyes of men, or seeing them have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ and living that out on a daily basis. What's most important? The answer to that question will reveal what's in your heart. Earthly success or spiritual success? Again, don't misunderstand me. If your child happens to be top of the class, I'm not saying that you went wrong. You probably did things right. But don't overemphasize the earthly aspect when there's so much spiritual things that we want to bring out in our children's lives. Don't ever forget the eternal value of your child. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 26. He said this, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, has everything, success, money, you name it, but yet forfeits his own soul?" I pray that your greatest desire would be for your child to know Christ and want to make him known in this world. Number two is that you can pray. You can pray for your children. Number one, you can pray that they come to know Christ. You can also pray for their guidance and their protection. I was talking with someone the other day and we were just commenting about, 30, 40 years ago, probably many parents didn't pray, oh God, would you protect my child as I send them off to school? Now, that's a prayer of mine just about every day as the kids go to school. Years ago, what would happen? Well, maybe Billy and Jimmy, they went to the playground and they punched it out and they were good to go. But nowadays, the violence is so much greater. The things that we see happening, it's kind of frightening as a parent. And so we pray. It's a good thing to pray for their physical protection as we send our kids off. And no matter what you do, we need to pray for that. Whether you, I think most of you do the public school thing, but if it's a private or homeschool, there's still this physical protection that we need to pray for. We also need to pray for their spiritual protection. What I mean by that is that there are lies that are going to hit the ears of our kids almost every day as they go out in the world. A while back, Lydia came home and she said, Dad, she said, so-and-so said that it's okay for a girl to marry a girl. And I started thinking, you're only 10 and you're hearing about this already? But I had to say, Lydia, no, that's not okay. Now, the government may make a law and say it's okay, but God says it is not okay. That does not please God. That is not God-honoring to do that, Lydia. Girls marry boys. In fact, when you take a vocab test and the definition of marriage, it's husband-wife. It's no other way. You have to redefine the word. So girls marry boys. Not when they're 10, though. Okay, Lydia, you wait. You wait till you get older. Okay, like older. That's all. You just wait. You just wait. Another day she came home and said, "Dad, my teacher told me that Jonah, he didn't get swallowed by a whale." I said, "Well, honey," I said, "now if by whale, the Hebrew word there probably means great fish instead of whale. So if that's what your teacher meant, then you know, he's right. But if he meant it's a myth or it really didn't happen, then he's wrong, Lydia. You still need to respect him, pray for him as a teacher, but that is not true. The Bible is very clear. Jonah did get swallowed by a big fish. In fact, Jesus Christ himself even refers to that when he talks about his burial and then his resurrection. 3 days, the Son of Man would be in the grave, just like Jonah was 3 days in the belly of a big fish. Yes, it did happen, Lydia. And I'm sure that there will be more lies that will come across the ears of our daughter and of our other kids as they live out their lives. So we need to pray for that spiritual protection, that they would know truth. They would know what God's word says. And we would also know that there are things that are going on that we cannot see with the natural eye. That there are a host of demons doing their bidding for Satan to warp and to twist the minds of so many. And so we need to be reminded of what the scripture says. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." And we need to keep that in mind as we think about our kids, that there are things, there are attacks that they're facing that we cannot see. And so we get on our knees and fight this battle for them. We stand in the gap for our kids. So moms, I pray that you would do those two things, that you would desire to point your kids to Christ, and that you would pray earnestly for their souls and for their lives. Next thing I want to speak to you moms about is this. I realize that as a mom, well, I not fully because I'm not a mom, but I realize that as moms, there's a lot of weight on your shoulders. There's a lot of things that you feel. I'm sure there's many days that you feel like you need to be all things to all people at all times. And there's probably many days that you just want to say, "Calgon, right? Take me away." Right? And so there's this weight, this pressure that you may feel as a mom. Just in the area of raising a family, that's a huge burden, a huge pressure. That in and of itself is a great load. But there's another load I want to talk about for maybe some of you feel, maybe some of you don't feel. But it's the weight you feel as you bring your groceries to the checkout counter and you look at the magazines that are staring you in the face. And there is this weight that maybe you need to look like those ladies who are on the cover of those magazines that you see. And I realize that most of you ladies just take a little bit longer to get ready than us men. I mean, that's just something about it. I don't know, you got to do the hair thing, you do the face thing, maybe you do the nail thing, the toe thing, all kinds of things you do. And we're ready in like 3 minutes. And we're learning to be very patient, aren't we, men, right? We're trying to be very patient. I get that. And know this, it's not a sin to comb your hair. I mean, that's okay. It's a good thing. But do you know what God says about beauty? Listen to what Proverbs 31:30 says. It says, "Charm is deceptive. And beauty is fleeting, quickly passing. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Our culture puts so much emphasis on outer beauty and so little emphasis on inner beauty. What does Peter say inner beauty is? He says the woman who has this inner beauty is the woman with a gentle and quiet spirit, a submissive spirit to God, a woman who fears God. And this is what the writer of Proverbs is saying, a woman who fears the Lord. Now, she is to be praised. But what does our culture often do? They praise the way people look on the outside. Just if you go on your computer, right? How many of you click on, you got your homepage, and there's like 45 different news articles that can pop up and you can click on. Anybody got those things? And usually, what makes the top 45 often? So-and-so was dressed like this when they went to some event. Wow. So-and-so just had a baby, and their belly is flat. Whoop-dee-doo. That big deal. True beauty is to fear God, to have an awe and a reverence for your maker, your creator, to love him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is beautiful. Ladies, I pray you know what true beauty really is in the eyes of your God. As I close this Mother's Day message, it's only fitting that I share with you, all of you, about a love that goes even deeper, much greater than even a mother's love. I think many of us here today can say that we've experienced a deep, unconditional love from our moms. And we could all fight about who has or who had the greatest mom, right? If we get into it, yeah, my mom's, we've experienced that. But you know what? There's a love that's even greater, and that is the love of God. Final scripture we look at today is Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why is this such an incredible love? Because while we were in our sinful state, while we were rebelling against God, while we were alienated from God, God loved us and sent his Son. God sent Jesus to be that atoning sacrifice, to bear my punishment, to bear your punishment, so that you could be forgiven and you could be cleansed and you could know God and you could have eternal life. The wrath that I deserve, the wrath that you deserve, Jesus took upon himself. And that is why this love is so amazing. Because, you know, I may love John as a brother, and maybe if I had the opportunity and someone was going to kill him, I may jump and save the day and John would live. I may do that for a good guy like John. But how about an enemy of mine? How about someone who spit in my face, cursed my name, and despised me? Would I lay down my life for that individual? Probably not, but yet this is how the love of God is described to you and I. While we were yet in sin, while we were once enemies, God reconciled us to himself through Christ. I pray that today you understand the deep, deep love of God. And if you have never trusted in Christ, that today be the day you give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, understanding his great love for you. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you today for this special day. And again, God, I thank you for your commandment that we are to honor our father and our mother. God, the family is something that you have ordained, you have set up. God, it is for our own good to do it your way. So, Lord, help us to understand your will and your ways for us. Father, help us each here today who do have our moms with us, that we would honor them, that we would let them know that we love them, not only with our tongue, but with our actions as well. God, again, I pray for those who may have lost their mom today, that you would just fill them with an incredible peace and love and joy that just abounds in their heart today. And God, for those who are moms today, I want to thank you for each and every one. They have a very difficult calling in their life. They do so many things that go unnoticed, so many things that the world could care less about, but yet they are so beautiful in your eyes. God, I pray that each woman here today would know the value, the worth that they have in your eyes, and that they would know that a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.